Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you again for that time of worship. It just sets the tone, Lord. It prepares us for the feast of the living Word of God that you have given us, Lord. You've given me a message to speak. Now I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my lips by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you would touch the ears and the hearts of those who are in this congregation, and those who are listening online today, and those who listen in the future, Lord, that they would hear what the Spirit is saying, and it would pierce through to their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward or pressing forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The name of this sermon is Stay in the Press. And I didn't know all week where I was. Lord, where am I going? Where do you want? What message do you have? And that was a struggle. And when I think about to stay in the press, and I think about, you know, those who have played basketball here, you know, when the team is down or they're trying to kind of break through with the ceiling, the coach would have the defense go into full court press. And they're at a higher intensity for that time. Correct, Stephen? Who's Mr. College Basketball here? So, and Sean plays ball too. So, and I think Jack's going to be a good basketball player too in the future. Just saw him playing hoops yesterday. But that word press. So to stay in the press, to stay is to remain. In press is to continue a course of action, especially in spite of difficulties. And these current days, we find ourselves living in difficulties. And living will become increasingly scary and seemingly out of control as we experience many signs of the times, the beginnings of sorrows, the birth pangs is what they're called, where compromise, distractions, diversions, and total confusion look to break people down. Okay? It's just like it's not only a demise of or a breakdown of society, it's a breakdown of individuals trying to wear people down, which causes people to literally be in a daze. Many are confused and lost, even those in the church. But God is not the author of confusion, Satan is. Satan is the father of lies in the world system that looks to break you down, and the goal is to have you, if you're broken down, you're easier to conform to this world and its agendas. Because the world is being conditioned for a reset. The world is about to change, and I truly believe it will be the demolition of the economy that is really the last measure. And maybe a war is a piece of that puzzle that will be the catalyst. But I think the things that remain of the old life or yesteryear are being shaken, right? To a great reset. And the new world system and the order that's created is supposed to be a utopia for mankind. But that's a lie. We know that. It's not going to be a utopia. It's going to be one with great control, with iron teeth. And you only have access to that world if you conform to its demands. And in all reality, our minds are under constant bombardment with thoughts, and including media parroting certain things as a system and conditions looking to sedate you. And the key is for us, we are supposed to be awake. We cannot get lulled to sleep as Christians. You understand? Because all the elements are ripe for the world to conform to a global government. And it's not conspiracy theory anymore. You know, a few years ago, you could have said those things, but people are openly, outwardly saying these things now, folks. Leaders of this world are saying these things. And can you not see the unrest all over the world? And that the system wants to get us off track, off the path. Jesus said, enter, Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many, many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Do you hear what that said? Difficult is the way which leads to life. It's difficult. It's not rosy, okay? It's not rosy. That's Jesus' own words, and he also said you're going to have tribulation in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome it. I'm looking forward to a day. We were talking about that yesterday, 1,000-year reign, you know, reigning and ruling with Jesus, and then the new heavens and the new earth. Peter and Paul, and also in the book of Hebrews, tell us to be diligent in our faith. And if it's not, if, why warning if it's so easy, just stand and be steadfast? Why? Because if we're not careful, we can get off the narrow path. We can get swayed away. We can start following the ways of the world, which is that wide path which we are called and told to avoid. And so seeing things unfold, though, honestly, it can weigh heavily on our hearts, especially for what, when we know that we have loved ones, people who we know who just don't know what's going on, they don't know Jesus. You've tried to share those things, and they just don't know. We don't know our own time when we can breathe our last breath. I mean, you breathe your last breath, you're going to stand before the Lord, but you don't have any opportunity to share with your family and friends anymore. That moment is over. But that heaviness comes in, and during our lifetime, we often go through these periods where we're like high, and then we come into a low. It's like that depression or that the heaviness comes in. And honestly, we could say, hey, you know, life just doesn't seem fair. And the weight of the world gets on our shoulders. But our Savior told us we will have trials and tribulations, but if we rely on him, he tells us to take heart because he's overcome that world. And the day is coming when we're going to be free of those weights and free of those bonds, free of this evil place. This Jesus is our Savior. We will be with him forever. And that day is drawing near. But me personally, this past week, and that's where I really felt led to share as the Lord was leading, but I shared this with Catherine and my wife, but I felt that spirit of heaviness throughout the week. I felt like I was wandering in a wilderness. I felt weary. I felt exhausted. I feel like I've just been running and going and going and going and going. Like each week, boom, 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 boom. And I know there are others in the church and those online that are dealing with anxiety. They're dealing with oppression and feeling oppressed. But we must understand that we cannot be focused on our problems and our circumstances and at the same time be focused on the Lord. Those two don't work, you understand? You're either going to be focused on circumstances or you're going to be focused on the Lord. But if we don't have our armor on, we are prone to attack by the enemy. And it can come suddenly, even when you are on a mountaintop spiritually. In 1 Kings 19, we saw that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, right? He just called fire down from heaven. He executes the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. And now it says, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah, we're talking about. The one who was raptured in a chariot is unwound here. He's unwound. because he reacted to an event and he reacted to a word out of a woman named Jezebel, which is a very live spirit that is today, the spirit of Jezebel. And Elijah comes into this place of this wilderness, and he's clearly acting by emotion and loses it all. He literally says, God, take my life. With all that he accomplished in obedience, you saw this whole thing. You know, when we studied this, this whole building of faith and trust in the Lord, yet at one moment of weakness, unwound. All-time high to a sudden low. And success does not immune you from depression. It does not immune you from that heaviness. Everything we do is to be looked at with an eternal significance. Do not grow weary in your well-doing. That gives us, if we do it with eternal significance, we then have a proper lens to focus through things. Otherwise, people are going to come against you, and just realize that's the enemy attacking you, trying to get you off track. And that's what Jezebel was doing. We know what her demise was, thrown out a window and then eaten by dogs. It's not easy keeping your eyes focused on the Lord. I understand that. And we live in a fallen world that says happiness is found in all the details of life. But that can end in a moment, folks. And we get bombarded daily with thoughts that flood our minds to make us shift our focus introverted as opposed to on the Master and what his plans are for us. And we can get overwhelmed with pride. And even as Elijah was getting restored, as God is talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I was awesome, and I'm the only one left, you know? So, and he says that twice. And God is like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And it wasn't in the thunderings. It was in the still small voice, like Katie was sharing. That still small voice that spoke, the Holy Spirit prodding, saying, hey, I still have work for you to do, child of God. And he's saying that to you and I today. We still have work to do. We still have work to do here in this life as time draws near. We cannot sit back and go easy street, eat, drink, and be merry, for soon we'll be raptured. That's wrong. My dad used to say that. It's nice to have those moments of refreshing. It's nice to have an 80-degree day and sitting outside with friends and family. But everything this world has to offer can be gone in an instant, and that's the kind of world we're living in today. Do you realize that? Yeah. Where your treasure is, so is your heart, folks. And it's very easy to lose heart when disappointment or failures come our way. I feel like I've been living in that for a while. But Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Wow. I mean, we can easily forget who we are in Christ. Have a strong desire for things, positions, powers, possessions, covetousness. And the world will tell you that those things will meet your needs and provide happiness, and provide security. Example, if you're secure in your bank account, and suddenly the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, where'd your security go? Poof. It's very easy to lose focus, folks. When we're rejected by others, and when you're on the mountaintop spiritually, realize you're not immune. You are just as vulnerable. Just as vulnerable. We must not, just like Elijah, cannot lose our perspective in these moments. When it happens, we stop enjoying life, the life that God has given us, the breath in our lungs that he's given us for each and every day. And then we can forget our goals, we forget our purposes, and we give up the ground we have gained. And then what happens is we withdraw from God and the people we need most around us. No man is an island. Have you heard that saying? It's here where we can fail to realize that God is doing a work in us, even in the wilderness, regardless of how things appear to us or how it appeared to Elijah. And it's here where Satan will try to pour lie after lie after lie to continue to reinforce that lost state of feeling isolated. But the Lord says, I'm with you always. I will not forsake you. But that those moments, they can make us paralyzed and ineffective, right? Ineffective. That light that we had is just put under the bushel. That salt shaker is put in the back, in the bag, and capped. Be careful who you listen to, folks. It's quiet in here right now. When Elijah was listening to God and he was in tune, like Katie's talking about the Holy Spirit, he was in the zone. He was in the zone. But when he listened to Jezebel, he became quickly unraveled. It's no different than the spies who went into the land, right? Two with a good testimony, the others with a poor testimony. And look at how many people's lives were robbed because of that. God said, I'm going to give you this promised land. And two men of faith said, let's go right now and take it. You see, Jezebel, the enemy, let's just look at it that way, wants to discredit Elijah, and the enemy wants to discredit you. It wants to ruin your testimony. So then people can be like, well, who are you to share the truth? What voice are you listening to? What lies are you believing? You know, that spiritual wilderness where you feel like no sense of God's presence. You're like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? These are those times when we can crush in the reality of God, the love of God, the care of God. I was there this past week, folks. I'm just telling you. I was walking and listening to worship music, and I'm like, man, Lord, I don't feel your presence. But he's there all the time. And he's faithful. And he's true. And I didn't want to be in the wilderness. I didn't want to feel there. I shared it to Katie. I'm like, I just don't want. I know the Lord is doing something. He's trying to teach me something, but I just don't like it. I don't like it, right? We don't like those feelings. And I'm not like a complete control freak, but I am one of those people that deals with and dabbles with where I need control on certain things. And I know the Lord's trying to teach me to let go of it and trust him. Trust is like this constant theme throughout Scripture. Just, he said, trust in me. I'm your source. I'm your provision. I'm your Savior. Trust in me. He's the one that can help me stand in the heat and the trial. And if I would just let him break me of those things, I can be a radical zealot for Christ and fully follow his ways. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he hopes for you. Listen, he cares for you. He has plans for you. He has a future and a hope. So we don't come to the world for rest. We come to Jesus for rest, do we not? Not the world. All things have been delivered to me, is what he said, by my Father. All means all, does it not? All things. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son reveals. Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. There it is. I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's that lowly. My pride is broken. I'm humble. And we're supposed to look to him, learn from him on those things, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. And when you come to him, say, Lord, I am weary. If you're feeling weary, if you're feeling the heaviest, Lord, I'm weary. I feel heavy. Help me. Psalm 6:6, I am weary with my moaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. And when you say that, then ask him to restore you. Lord, restore me. Revive me. Who is our shepherd? The Lord. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for his glory. For his name's sake. We need to realize that our source is that never-drying fountain. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to us. It's not us. But we have to be humble enough to submit and allow the Lord to do a work in us and realize that our strength will fail us. Our own strength will fail us. We need him and the power of his might because God's shaking the foundations of this earth and the heavens. He's shaking it, folks. And what's coming, Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts will fail them from fear. An expectation of the things that are coming on the earth. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And that shaking for us, beloved, is to let go of the things of this earth. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, are we not? Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, I've set a race before you. The gun's been shot. Get going. Get running. Keep moving forward, right? What did Moses tell the Israelites? Keep moving forward. I've paved the way. I've opened the sea. Now go. Keep moving forward. Looking unto me, Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that is before us, folks. We have joy, joy, joy before us. And that joy of the Lord is our strength. We sang that today. Not in the things of this world. So we don't conform. We're supposed to be set apart. Kodeshim, holy. Lay aside the weights. That means letting go, doesn't it? Well, I like running with the weights. Helps me train. You don't wear weights. The training vests that people you see wear with those weights, do you see them wearing those in the races? No. You know what track athletes do? They are like minimalists. They have like the tightest clothing, the least amount of wear. Their shoes are like 2 ounces. Yeah, I mean, they are like super light because they don't want anything to slow them down. You hear what I'm saying, folks? You guys are very, very quiet. And listen, we want to try to separate ourselves from people who keep us weighed down. And there's not a lot you can do when you have family and people you're around. You're around coworkers and you're around organizations and things. But you can, if you are find yourself in a conversation where it's just weighing on you, excuse yourself from that conversation. It's okay. You know, I'm gonna take a step back. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Use some self-control. Be willing to share, though, that love, joy, peace, right? All that fruit, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Because God's looking to use you and I, a remnant. And he's going to pour out his spirit in the end days. And we can be used mightily for his glory. Isaiah 61, verse 2, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Let your light shine. The light came, Jesus Christ, and because of him and faith in him, we are torchbearers. Say, I am a torchbearer.
I'm a torchbearer.
Amen. There's some alive. Revelation 3, 7 through 12 talked about the church of Philadelphia. These things says he who is holy. God is holy, holy, holy. And then it says he who is true. Is he faithful and true? He who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. That shows about all power, I would say. I'm going to open the door before you. And no man can shut it. And what did he do with the ark? He shut the door. He shut the door on Noah, is what it says. He shut the door that no one could then open. For 120 years, preaching righteousness. And all of a sudden, the earth opened up and the rains came down. But that church of Philadelphia that has the open door, no one can shut. You have a little strength. Hanging on. I'm hanging on, Lord, by a thread. And you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Pretty awesome. In a world that wants to get rid of God and erase him from all society, we're his name keepers. You've kept my command to persevere. There it is again. Persevere. And I'll keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast. Hold fast. Steadfast. Continue on. Endure. Persevere. Do not give up the faith through hardship. Stay in the press. Stay in the press. That's the call. Steadfastness. Stay in the press. That's what he gave the charge to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Keep the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That sounds pretty straightforward to me. Holding fast to the Lord means loving him. Staying in the press is mean your whole being is following him closely, diligently, obeying his word, devoting ourselves to him, his plans, his kingdom. Are you devoted? Are you committed? Well, partially. No. You're supposed to give him all your heart, right? Serve him with all your heart and soul. And that means not compromising relationships or behaviors that will pull you away from the commitment to God and the obedience of his word. The saved will persevere. Stay and remain, right? Again, to stay is to remain, and in the press is to continue a course of action, especially in spite of difficulties. In spite of difficulties. So hold fast to Jesus. He said, hold fast what you have till I come. Revelation 2:25. Revelation 3:11. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast. We just read that. God's shaking all that can be shaken. So what are we supposed to hold to? Hold fast to Jesus, and he said, then no one will take your crown. This anchor for our soul, if we would just allow ourselves to be tethered to it. So then when the waves come, it doesn't rip the boat away. That song, the anchor holds, though the ship is tattered. The sails are torn. But the anchor still holds it. Do you understand? And as we get older, we kind of feel that way. Our body aches. He's the anchor of our soul, folks. Steadfast to the end. Holding fast to his word. Right? The parable of the sower and the seed said, the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Katie was sharing. Maybe that next time you share with that one individual will be the time. Be patient. Be patient. My dad was patient to share the faith with you as you asked questions, as you further and further along until you came to the point where you bent your knee and gave your heart to the Lord. Same thing with my wife. How many others here? Maybe some of you had that automatic conversion, but some others had to be kind of led that way. And that voice started getting louder. That still small voice started getting louder and louder, beckoning you to say, yes, Lord, I trust in you for salvation. It's real. Titus 1:9 says, hold fast by the faithful word as you've been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Exhort, build up, or convict them. You're wrong. God is true. God is real. My God is alive. He's roaring like a lion. So hold fast and be holy. Be holy, right? Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every evil. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Peter 1:15 to 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, holy. That's our God. Woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. He called you to holiness. 2 Timothy 1:13 through 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, the good thing which was committed to you. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That good word that saved you. It called you out of darkness. That's the power of the gospel. And it's foolishness. The power of the cross is the foolishness to those who are perishing. It's life to us. And the power of the prince of the air wants to blind the world and lead them off to a cliff of destruction. And the delusion says that they will not receive the love of the truth. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Their conscience seared. The truth won't penetrate. But we are called to stand fast. Stay in the press. That's what conditioning helps with, doesn't it? If coach calls and says, hey, you got to be in the full court press right now, the rest of the game, you've been conditioned for that. You dig deep into that tank, and guess what? Our tank doesn't run dry. There's no E for the believer. There's no E. It's always on F. It's full. It's full. Do you hear me? It's full. If you just access the Holy Spirit, it's full. Listen to this. About holding fast, right? Job 8:13 through 15 says, so are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off, whose trust is a spider's web. He leans on his house, but it does not stand. He holds it fast, but he does not endure. Because he's holding and leaning on a faulty foundation. That's why. That's why. We have the solid rock on which Christ we stand, do we not? So look for the blessed hope. Look to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. They can have this world. It's all going to burn up in the fire anyways. You look to Jesus, right? You press toward the goal and the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So stay in the press. Do you breathe your last breath? The world is pressing towards the mark of the beast. We press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the returning King of kings and Lord of lords. And should we breathe our last breath, may we rejoice in this one thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Till then, the Holy Spirit keep us on Jesus Christ, the solid rock we stand. When we talk about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, comfort one another with those words. Don't miss it. Do not be on the wrong side of the door. Five virgins had oil, five had to go buy it. You can't buy a free gift. You need to receive it. And that door was shut. That today is the day of salvation. Stay in the press. As I share right now, and this was confirmation of the message today, Pastor Haynes shared a prophetic word this past week that I am going to share with you right now, which is, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is pressing in season for you. And in that pressing into my kingdom, you must go through the narrow gate that leaves many behind who have presumed that they and they only will be my chosen. Forgive them, love them, keep moving forward, for this is the hour and the time that I am making a separating of things above from things beneath, and your invitation from me is to come up higher. Trust in your Lord that knows where you began and what you are going through, but also trust in where I am taking you. Stay focused on me, and I will take care of the rest while you rest in me. Your struggles are not to show your weaknesses to those around you, but that I teach you, that I am the only one who can give you deep assurance and peace needed to push through. It is my strength that keeps you standing. I have seated you with me in the heavenly realm, where we rest as one. You are in the place of rest at my side. This will transform you as you consider what it means to be one with me. All that has troubled you cannot enter. The door is shut to the temporal and the momentary. Eternity is within your heart, for I have come to be one with you. Many that are called by my name struggle as though I was not with them. Many pray to me as though I was distant and detached. Many read their Bibles as though it was merely facts to study and not living revelations for them to consume. I am calling you to pray. I am calling you to read the truths of my word and believe them, for it is impossible that I should lie. I am well able to be the light stand in your darkness. Come into fullness of what I've called you to have, and come into the fullness to be what I've called you to be. I have called you to be more than conquerors. You have a Father in heaven with a burning love for you. I have a very deep and cherishing love for you. And I will give you fruits of hope to all those who are my children. Let me teach you the secrets of what it means to be my child. I will heal you of the pain that has prevented you from knowing me fully. Your life is about to change as you take your place at my right hand. I have made you holy in my presence. Absorb the glory that is around you until you know that I am near. You will very, very soon forget all the afflictions and pains you have suffered when you finally see what I have prepared for you. You will radiate with my glory and taste of my goodness for all eternity. I have chosen you and could never forget the adoring worship you have poured out before me. And I think about that this morning. I am near to you even now. Just know my work for you is swiftly coming to completion. I will complete this beautiful work inside your heart until you awaken with my likeness. Come and rest at my side until your eyes open to see me face to face, says the Lord. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for a man who has a tender heart to give a word, a prophetic word, to those who are hungry and thirsty. That restored my soul. That restored the heaviness that I had when I read that. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. Awesome. We have the Holy Spirit inside us to share a word that can lift up others out of that pit of despair. Don't fade back. Stay in the press. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's sharper than two-edged sword, and it's mighty. It cuts to the heart, Lord, the discernment of thoughts. Father, I thank you for this time and this word that will hopefully be tucked away deep inside. And as we feel ourselves retreating, that we would remind ourselves to stay in the press. Until you call us home, Lord. Give us the opportunities this week to share the truth that has set us free. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say amen. Amen. You are dismissed.